So, all that being said, I want to get into my lesson for us here today. But before I do, I want us to go to God in prayer, and then we'll start our time together. Let's go to God. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to come together as a family. And I pray, God, that you help us to walk away not just full of food, but full of spiritual food that can also help us, full of fellowship that can also help us. Thank you once again, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I was not trying to be funny to insult anybody with that LGBTQ2 stuff I said. So I don't want nobody getting offended by that. I'm just talking. If y'all know me, y'all know I ain't got everybody. Everything ain't upstairs, all right. So you know we all right. It was too many amens on that one. I wasn't supposed to be like amen on that one. All right. So let me ask you this. Since we kind of in this family atmosphere, if somebody says you're dressed to the nines, anybody know what that means? Right. You're dressed up. You look nice. What you have on is really sharp. That's something that's really is thought of being said more in the African-American community. But in fact, it is a Scottish term. And it means perfection or to the highest degree. And so this is something that I want us to talk about today because honestly, God dresses us to the nines. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 7, this is what it says. This is our standard scripture for the rest of the year, maybe life. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. It is not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You know, when Paul uses the word protect, actually he says always protects, its root meaning is to cover or conceal. That's the verb, to cover. Now the noun form of the verb, of the word, I'm sorry, is to protect, to roof, or shelter. Now many scholars believe that when Paul was talking about this kind of love, love that always protects, what he's in fact saying is how it's a cloak of love, how it covers over us, how it hides us. As it talks about in the scriptures, in the shelter of your wings, how he covers us. This is what Paul is saying as he says this here. Now, at one point in time, we've all experienced this kind of love. Maybe you had a misunderstanding, but yet a friend stepped in to help take your side to explain it. Maybe you had someone who was hurt or passed away, and then you just got a random phone call just to support you. There are many different ways that many of us have had cloaks of love put on us. But the one cloak that's the best of all is the one that God put on his children. The one of Jesus Christ's blood covering over all of our sins. So to this is how God has dressed us to the nines. Now think about Adam and Eve for a moment. God dressed Adam and Eve in a way that none of us could imagine. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they needed no clothing. But after they sinned, all they wanted to do was to run in shame. They hid in the bushes. They put some figs together. They craved for protection. In Genesis 3, verse 2 and 3, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." Now, of course, that one tree that they were not allowed to touch was the one that they desired the most. And that opened a door of lifetime shame for them. Adam and Eve felt no shame before the fruit. After the fruit, nothing but shame. And again, they put together some fig leaves. Really, what is a fig leaf going to protect? That was not their protection. So what did God do? Did God just put judgment on them? Did he just punish them? No, they're his kids. Surely, you know, even kids even know that didn't happen. Surely God's mercy could have overridden justice. And again, Genesis 3:21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now I want us to envision this for a moment. God made garments, clothing for Adam out of animal skin, for his wife's skin, and then he clothed them. Now there's three things I want to talk about from what this one verse that it says here. First of all, God killed an animal. For the first time in history, death occurred because of sin. Innocent blood was shed because of sin. The animal committed no sin. He didn't deserve to die. Adam and Eve sinned. They deserved to die, but they lived. The animal, no sin, didn't deserve to die, but died. Here is, there was innocent blood that had to be shed because of this sin. Now, the second thing is, God clothed them. Clothing was made. Now imagine the creator of the universe now becomes a tailor to clothe someone. Created the stars, the moon, the seas, photosynthesis, I mean everything. And now he becomes a tailor so he can clothe someone. And then the third thing is this, God dressed them. It says the Lord clothed them. He dressed them. Adam and Eve, they felt shame. They got some little fig leaves. They tried to cover up. God said, whoa. That's not how I want to dress you. So he killed an animal. Innocent blood was shed for them. And then, again, the creator of the universe actually clothed them. You got to picture that for a minute. God fitting them up, putting it on them. Whoa, wait, don't move. Wait, hold on, Adam, be still. You can just picture how your mom would dress some of you coming to school or going to church or whatever. Wait, don't do that. That don't look right. Or your dad zipping up. I mean, this is how God, the creator of the universe, took his time to clothe Adam and Eve. He didn't just say, here's some skins. Put it on since you messed up. You figure it out. He didn't treat them like that. He said, not only am I giving this for you, but I'm going to personally clothe you. To make sure you are dressed to the nines. Make sure you are set for perfection. This is how much God cared about them. But this is how much God cares about you and me as well. He wants to make sure we have that opportunity. See, that's what love always protects means. It means love covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers over things. It doesn't just throw it at you. And I hope you get the fact that I love you because I said it to you so many times. No, it doesn't just throw it at you. It makes sure you're covered with it. Just as God took time to clothe them, he wants to make sure you know how much he cares for you. We ourselves go through times of shame. What do? We sow on fig leaves of excuses. We cover ourselves with good works or religion. But when the storm comes, we find ourselves feeling shame once again. So what does God do? God sheds innocent blood. His own son. He says, listen, even though you messed up, I'm shedding blood of my son so I can cover you once again. So you can be covered and dressed to the nines, looking perfect. See, when he looks down at us, he doesn't look at us and think, ooh, you jacked up. He looks down at you and he sees the blood of his son that makes you perfect. Now, amen. In Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27, this is what he says. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were... You who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. The robing of God is God's work. It's not your work. It's not my work. A lot of times we think, well, if I do this, this, and that, then I'm saved. Listen, Adam and Eve didn't do anything. Nothing at all. They didn't request a sacrifice. They didn't make the sacrifice of the animal. They didn't even dress themselves. God did all of it. You and I, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We hide, he seeks. We bring sin, he brings sacrifice. We bring fig leaves, he brings a robe of righteousness. There's nothing we do. It's all about God. And once we realize that, it changes your life. Because then we no longer strive to be perfect in everybody's eyes. Making sure that I'm how do they see me? How do they view me? That's not the issue, because it's God that did all the work. Isaiah 6, verse 10. It is funny, isn't it? I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Isaiah 6:10. It says, he has clothed each of us. When you look back over your life, think of a time that God protected you. I'm sure we all got something we could say. It could be all, it's 250 testimonies in here right now of a way God's protected you. You know, we read the Bible, we see the woman caught in adultery. Jesus protected her from those stones that they wanted to throw at her. The disciples in the boat thought they're going to drown. Jesus protected them from the storm. The demonic man, Jesus protected him from himself. Jesus even protected Peter from the tax collectors, the government. Listen, what has Jesus done to protect you? Now think about that for a minute. I'm going to give you a minute. Let it marinate. Ain't that what you say? You let it soak in, marinate? That's what we're going to say today. Now think of how God has protected you. You know, last week when I was talking, I got hit by a semi-truck in my car. I should have been done. It was two different times I should have died while on the fire department. House collapse. Was protecting us. If you drive in this city anywhere, God's protected you. That's a fact. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 through 3. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it is with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Wouldn't it be great if you could wrap someone in a cloak of righteousness and of love today? I want to have my wife come up and read the scripture for me. A couple of reasons. One, because she's beautiful. Two, I don't have my glasses.
Okay. So Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46 says, "Man comes in his glory and the angels with him. He will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did, not for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Thank you. Before we close out here, we got to ask ourselves, who is he talking about here? Who did they do these things for? They didn't even realize they were doing it, but they did something great. Who is that? That's the teenager that's in trouble. Who can you give love to today? Who can you clothe with love today? The college student that doesn't live where their family lives over the holidays, and you can bring them into your homes. The single mom that works so hard every single day and still got to come home and take care of not just herself, but her kid. It's the coworker that has somebody pass away that you can just be there, say a few words to, comfort. It's the elderly person that lives alone that you can just go over and say hello to greet them, give them something. You say, well, I don't know what to do when somebody's hurting. Well, let me tell you what love does. Love doesn't say anything. Love just shows up. Sometimes we think, amen. Sometimes we think we got to have the right words. Sometimes the right words is not to say anything. It's just to be next to a person, maybe give them a hug. What can I do for you? We don't have to know the right answers. We don't have to fight for, oh, if I don't want to say anything because I'm going to say something wrong. Just be quiet and be there. See, this is what we've got to understand. So many times we're looking to be perfect for somebody. And all we got to do is just be there for somebody. That's the perfection that so many people are looking for. Not for you to give them the right answers and fix them. No, just show up. And this is what being clothed in love, protected in love means, showing up for one another. Let me close out with this last verse, 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other because love covers over a multitude of sins. Do you know anyone who needs a cloak of love? Dress them in it. Dress them to the nines. We're not God, but we could show them God here if we just show up for one another. This is exactly what Jesus did for us. He showed up for you. He showed up for me. When he went to the cross, that's what he was saying. I am showing up for you. Before we even made a decision to turn our lives over to him, he showed up for us. If we are to say we're followers of Jesus, we need to follow. He showed up for us. We need to show up for him. He showed up for people that we don't know. We need to show up for people that we don't know. Guys, as we take communion, let us remember so many ways God has protected us. Let us be thankful for it, but let us also respond by loving other people, showing up, clothing other people in love. Let's pray for the bread and the cup right now. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your son, Jesus, dying for us. Thank you for the bread that represents his body. I pray that as we take it, we remember all the ways he's loved us and protected us and shown us his love. As we take the cup, God, help us to remember the blood that he shed for us. And whatever we sacrifice now is nothing compared to what he sacrificed for us then. Father, please bless this bread, bless this cup, bless the food that we're going to have together afterwards as a fellowship, as a community. Just as they ate and gathered together in homes in the book of Acts, we gather together today, Father, not just for a meal, but for the fellowship and being there for one another. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.